Shas Illuminated.org presents the following shiur by Rabbi Levi Langer. Maseches Midos is dedicated anonymously in honor of Rabbi and Mrs. Yaakov Metz.
Rabbi, we are excited to inform you, our dear listeners, that at the upcoming Shas Illuminated Siyum HaShas, which will take place in Lake Terrace in Lakewood, New Jersey on December 15th, we will proudly honor the dedicated Talmidei Chachamim who have been instrumental in spreading Shas Illuminated to every corner of the Torah world. We will be honoring as guest of honor and the Amud HaTorah Award of Aaron Sorcher Shlita. In addition, we will be honoring all of the other Shas Illuminated Magidei Shir with the Harbotzes Torah Award. Many of the Magidei Shir will be gracing us with their presence at the Siyum HaShas. To place an ad in the journal in their honor, or to register for the Siyum, please go to shasilluminated.org/Siyum, that is shasilluminated.org/Siyum, or call 203-312-SHAS, that is 203-312-7427. We look forward to sharing the Simcha of Kavod HaTorah together with you.
Masechta Midos, Daf Lamed Hei. The Mishnah says in Masechta Midos in Perek Beis, Mishnah Hei, that in the Ezras Noshim, there were four lishkois, four chambers at the four corners of the Ezras Noshim, and these four lishkois did not have any roof. The Mishnah says, we learn this out of the language of the Pasuk in Yecheskel, Loi Hoyo Mekurois, the Mishnah says, these chambers had no roof to them, none of the four had any roof. The Kachim Asidon Liois, that's the way it's going to be, as it says in Yecheskel, by the Bayas HaOsid, Shenemar, Feyetvieni, Lechotar Chitzoyna, etc., and he shows me at the Arba Mitzoy HaChotzer, you have at the chambers at the four corners of the Chotzer, and there was in the four corners, Chatzeirois Keturois. And the word Keturois, the Mishnah translates, means Einan Mekurois, that there's no roof to them. That's Keturois. The Rosh explains that the word Keturois is like the word Kutro, which means smoke, and these chambers, since it was cooking that took place in the chambers, and there was smoke had to be allowed to be released through the ceiling, through the roof, so therefore there was no ceiling in order to allow the smoke to leave. The Mishnah, by the way, does add, and we'll talk about this, the Mishnah says that one of these four chambers, the Droimis Mizrochis, which was the chamber at the southeast, that was called Lishkas HaNazirim, the chamber of the Nazirim. Why was it called that? Because there, Sham, the Nazirim used to cook their shlomim, they used to shear off their hair, umeshalchem tachas adud, and they used to place the hair, like the Gzeras HaKosev over there, to place the hair in the fire that's under the cook pot of the shlomim. So that's the chotzer of the shlomim, and obviously, if you could see, the chotzer of the Nazirim, the Lishka of the Nazirim used to cook the shlomim, so you have this need that it should be unroofed. The Ezras Koyanim writes over here, and he's medayek this diak from the language of the Rosh, that the reason why the Mishnah focuses over here and says the kachem asidim liois, that these structures will not have any roof, la'osid lovo in the bayas ha'osid, and quotes the pasuk in Yecheskel, the reason for this stress, says Ezras Noshim, is because in the bayas harishon, these chambers were roofed. He says even though it's logical to him that one of them wasn't roofed, that's the specific one where the Nazirim would cook their shlomim, how are you going to have that roofed in the bayas harishon either? I mean, you have to have the cook pot, then you have to the smoke get released. He says, but at least most of them were roofed in the Bayis HaRishon. Lo Osed Lovoi, none of them will be roofed. And the Bayis HaSheni followed the, so to speak, the program of the Osed Lovoi, rather than that of the Bayis HaRishon. None of the chambers were roofed. And that's why you have to quote the Vekachim Asidon Liois and to quote the Pasuk in Yecheskel. I do want to mention over here that the Rambam, Shtel Tavek, near the beginning of Hilchos Beis HaBechira, that he says that the Bayis HaSheni was built, like the Rambam, Ke'en, the Bayis of the Bayis HaRishon, and Ke'en, the Bayis HaShlishi. The Rambam says the Bayis HaShlishi has a lot of form of stuna that we don't fully understand today, but we do know that the Bayis HaRishon was built as a kind of a microcosm again of the Bayis HaRishon, that the Bayis HaSheni is built in the Bayis HaRishon, and the end of the Bayis HaShlishi. So we have over here, there's this kind of speaking out that in this particular place, we're telling you that the unroofed chambers at the corners of Ezras Noshim, that parallels the Bayis HaShlishi, Asidim Lius, and not the Bayis HaRishon. I just want to mention Derech Agav, that this Rambam in the Yad supports what we talked about yesterday in the Rambam of the Perish Mishnayos, where he says that you study Midos, which is Bayis HaSheni, you learn how to build a Bayis HaShlishi. So we mentioned there's many differences. It just means that there's many similarities and elements that you could learn from the one to the other. So the Maisa, You see right over here in the Yad that the Rambam brings out this point. There's Bayis HaShen and Bayis HaShlishi are certainly not the same at all. The Rambam Fakert, the Rambam writes in the Yad that they built the Bayis HaShen, may end of the Bayis HaRishon, and may end of the Bayis HaShlishi, and we discussed this point yesterday. Now, the Ezra's Kayan over here, lives with a kasha though, he says he doesn't know why in countless other places in this Masechta, we could have done the same thing. We could have said that this structure is placed in this and this way, and it built like this. The Kachos and Leo is in quote Pesukim Yecheskel. There's plenty of other things that are in the Pesukim Yecheskel and based on Pesukim Yecheskel. So why Dafka over here does the Mishnah go out of its way by the unroofed chambers in the corners of Ezra's Noshim, the Kachem Asid and Leo? He lives with a kasha, he loses with a difficulty. The truth is I don't know what's fair to him. It's very hard for me to understand what the kasha is, because he could very easily have answered this kasha based upon a big chiddush that he himself says in a different shtickle in the Ezra's Kohenim on this same Mishnah. Because Ezra's Kohenim in this Mishnah raises a question. He brings down the language of the Tosfos Yontif. As the Tosfos Yontif says, on V'loi Hoyo Mekurois, that these chambers at the corners of the Ezra's Noshim were not Mekurois, they had no roof. So the Tosfos Yontif says, K'dei Levashel B'Soichoi, Ez Zevach Ha'om, Zevach Shlomim, Toido V'El Nozir, the different kabbonis that were cooked over there, says the Tosfos Yontif, in order to cook and to allow the smoke to get released, this is the reason why they had unroofed chambers. And he quotes from Yecheskel, Eile Beis HaMevashlo Mashi Yevashlo Shom HaShoyos HaBayis Es HaZevach HaOm. So there's a quote from Yecheskel that brings to this point. There's this Kohenim raises a basic question on this Tosfos Yontif. He says the Tosfos Yontif is saying, apparently, that the reason that these Chatzeiros, or the four Lishkois rather, were not Mekurios, had no roof, is because to cook over there. Says how many of them were used to cook? The mission over here, right over here, goes through the function of these four Lishkois and enumerates them one after another, and it only says specifically by the southeast one, the one that was in the Dara Mizrach, Dara Mizrachis. Right there it says there was Lishkas Nazirim that over there Nazirim used to cook the Shlomim. The other three are having all specific different uses that don't involve the cooking. So Zakhtar, why is the Tosfos Yontif saying that the function of being unroofed is based on cooking in these four Lishkois? It's not true, Zakhtar. The Lishka, only the Lishka of the southeast, the Lishkas Nazirim, that's the one that used for cooking, and the other would not. So this is the Kasha Ezra's Kohenim asking the Tosfos Yontif, and he says he personally believes, and he says a curious chiddush on this. As Kohenim says, in his opinion, it's only La'asad Lovoy that they're going to use all four to cook, like Yitaka have the Pasuk, like we quoted, Eile Beis HaMevashlam, Ashi Yavashlusham, over there La'asad Lovoy, they're going to use all four of these chambers to cook. They won't have roofs. None of them will have roofs for that purpose. The Bayis HaShani is out there, and the Chanami, the Mishnah is saying, for whatever reason, that they only use the southeast chamber to cook. However, V'balt at La'asad Lovoy, all four of these structurally would not have any roof. They all won't have a roof. So therefore, they built the Bayis HaShani, and the structure of the Bayis HaShlishi, and they followed the program, the plan of the Bayis HaShlishi in this matter, and they made no roof for any of them, despite the fact, Zokti, as it's Kohenim, that in the Bayis HaShani they couldn't make roofs of three out of the four, because in the Bayis HaShani you only have a need for the Dremis Mizrach, the southeast one, the cooking was only done there, and that's the only one that Be'etzim had to be unroofed. Nonetheless, we follow the Bayis HaShlishi, and we have no roof on any of them. Zokta says, where the Mishnah is bringing the Pasik in Yecheskel, the Kachem Asidim Lios, etc., is to explain to you, Zokta, that Osad Lovoy, there's going to be a need, and there's going to be a system, that none of these are going to have a roof. So therefore, as a result of that, in the Bayis HaShani as well, they made them all unroofed, just like the Bayis HaShlishi, despite the fact that in the Bayis HaShani, they only had a need for one to be unroofed. This is Ezra's Kohenim's own Yesoid, and you see from here, by the way, an important thing, in his opinion anyway, that you had things that were deliberately, they went out of their way in the Bayis HaShani to make them in the Bayis HaShlishi, even without a specific use for it. Like you have Mamish right over here, which is an important point, according to his Shita, that building at the end of the Bayis HaShlishi, and that in of itself, the fact that it should be a end of the Bayis HaShlishi, is itself an end in itself in the construction of the Bayis HaShani, even if in the Bayis HaShani there may, in certain cases, not have been a specific use to build in that exact way. That's what you see in the Ezra's Kohenim Shita. The thing is, as we're mentioning, according to him, he could very easily have explained why Dafka in this mission and elsewhere not, why in this mission it says Kachem Asidim Liois, that there'll be unroofed Lasid Lavoi, Shenemer, and quote the whole Pasuk in Yecheskel, why Dafka single it out over here? Don't you have other things that also are built in the Bayis HaShani, in the Mishnayos over here, may end the Bayis HaShlishim? That's Ezra's Kohenim's Kashim. The truth is, it's not shver at all, according to his own Shita, because according to him, this is the one place where you have an amazing thing, that the Bayis HaSheni is no need to make it unroofed. It would be more convenient, perhaps, to have the other ones roofed, to have three out of the four of them roofed. And despite they were deliberately making them roofed based on the Kachem Asid and Liyos, because that's the way it's going to be. So, of course, the Mishnah has to stress that. Otherwise, you're going to have a very big problem trying to explain why all four of them were unroofed. So, Meili, he himself could easily have answered this Kasha, and it's really a bit of a Bikoiris, a bit of a tain on him, why he left Shver the Kasha, why Dafke here, the Mishnah says, the Kachem Asid and Liyos. The MS you do find else in the others, the Sefer Masa, the Melech and Rambam, asks the same question as the Esos Kleinim, and doesn't give his answer. In other words, he asked the Kasha, the Masa, the Melech, why are all four of them unroofed if only one of them is being used for the purpose of cooking? He doesn't say this, Teretz, that Lossed Lovoy will be a need. Maybe he wasn't going with such a Yasoid, that we went out of our way to make a certain structure, even if there wasn't a need in the Bayas HaSheni, just because based on Bayas HaSishi. So the Masa, the Melech, says that in his opinion, the correct answer is that all four of them were used for cooking. He says one of them was designated specifically for cooking, and that's the one that was used regularly for the purpose, and that's the southeast chamber. But Zokter, if there was the extra need, and there were an extra number of people on a particular day, they would use all of them for cooking, and even brings a Tosfos in Yuma on Tezayin that speaks out that regard to the Lishkois in general, in the Mikdash, that the Lishkois had multiple purposes, and when Chazal identified this a particular purpose, they meant that that was the main designation of the Lishka, but in any Lishka, you could really have, Tosfos says in Yuma, that you could have other purpose in the same Lishka. And mainly the Masa Melech says it works out well. The Mishnah does give extra other needs, other reasons for why the other Lishkais were there, but the southeast is the one that's specifically designated for cooking, but any of them could be used for cooking, and he says that's Pasha, the good tares, for why all of them were left unroofed. Later in the Mishnah says about the Esos Noshim in general, that V'chalok Ahoysa B'Rishoyna, originally it was, so to speak, smooth, it was Cholok, we'll talk a little about that, and then later on, Hikifuok Sustera, they surrounded it with a balcony, and about with the purpose of the balcony, that that way you could have, the women could see, this is for Simcha Beis HaShayeva, where everybody would come and see all of the Simcha, the Simcha Beis HaShayeva, so the women, Anoshim Royas Mamailon, the women would be up above on the balcony, V'Anoshim Mamata, the men would be down below, Kadei Shalo Yehum Ura, and that there shouldn't be a tarovet, an admixture of the men and the women mixed together, which would be wrong, so therefore they have the women separate on the balcony, on top of the balcony, the men down below. There is on this Mishnah a very, very, very big mevucha, an apparent steer between the Rambam and the Perish Mishnayos over here, and the Rambam and the Perish Mishnayos in Sukkah, where you have a description, another description in the Mishnah of the same thing, really. The Mishnah in Sukkah, in the fifth parak, speaks about the Sukkah Beis HaShayeva, and it talks over there as well about the Tikkun Godoil, the language of the Mishnah, a special Tikkun, they fixed a special way, which is explained in the Gemara that that's the special balcony they made that shouldn't be mixed, the men and the women. So the Rambam over here explains one thing, the Rambam over there in Sukkah explains it differently, and this apparent steer in the Rambam is a source of a tremendous, tremendous tumult. There was a big vikuach, really, in the previous doyer between the Moshe Feinstein Zuchav Roch and the Igros Moshe and the Satmar Rav Zuchav Roch and the Divrei Yoyel. They got into a big, big, wide-ranging and lengthy dispute about this, what the correct yishuv to the steer in the Rambam is, and from there they took it further weiter about what the purpose of a mechitza is, a separating between the women and the men, today's shuls, which is parallels, and it's the way the poets can speak out, is based upon what you have, the separation, men and women in the Hamikdash. This is a very big arichos. For the purpose of our shiur, we're just going to be focusing primarily on the different approaches to the steer in the Rambam and the connected horos that are connected directly to that. We certainly can't get into a lengthy discussion of all of the Indian of Mechitza. What you have over here is like this. The Rambam and the Perish Mishnayos over here makes 2 points. First of all, the Rambam says that when the Mishnah says that the Esos Noshim was Chalok HaBarishayna, the Rambam's Shita is, it means it originally had no wall around it. The Rambam Mamish held that the Esos Noshim was literally open. It was literally open to the Chayil, it was open to the surrounding area originally, and only afterwards, when they were making the Tikkun and building the balcony, that's in the connection with that, they made a wall. Originally, there was no wall. That's one thing the Rambam writes. It was originally Prutza, the Ein Koisel Makif, that's the Shita of the Rambam originally. Another thing the Rambam says over here is that they were concerned, the concern that the Chazal had was Shemo Yisarvu Hanoshim Bein Ho'anoshim. This is the language of the Perish Mishnayos. Yisarvu Hanoshim Bein Ho'anoshim. That the women were mixed amidst of the men. So therefore, the Rambam says, the language that we have in the Perish Mishnayos, He Kifu Oisa B'Shkufim Atumim. This is the language of the Rambam. Shkufim Atumim. The word Shkufim means transparent, and the word atumim means opaque or solid, and the Rambam in some way is describing the structure that they made as a shkufim atumim. Actually, this question, which is, it's very unclear what the Rambam meant by shkufim atumim, this actually was a big part of the big vikuach between Rabbi Moshe Feinstein and the Satmar Rav Zichron Livracha, which we'll get back to Mitzvah Shem later. Al-Kaponim, the major thing with Negelin and Einu is that the Rambam is mavur, that the concern was, shalo yisarvu hanoshim bein ho'anoshim, which means, apparently, some kind of a real tarovet between the men and the women. The Rambam Tanur over here brings down the Rambam, and he adds, k'dei shalo yavoyu de kalos roish. In other words, the kalos roish, this is actually based on the sugya in Masechta Sukkah, where the Gemara talks about the issue that they had, and they started having a kalos roish. So, the lightheadedness. And that's the Bar Tanura's add-on onto the words of the Rambam. Now that's over here in Masechta Midos. In Masechta Sukkah, in the Mishnayos, in the Perek Hei, the Mishnah says, for the Sech Beis HaShayevo in the Ezras Noshim, they used to make a Tikkun Godoil. It's not explicit in the Mishnah what this Tikkun Godoil was. But the Gemara over there gets into a whole sugya, but very briefly, what the Gemara says is that originally, the men and the women were simply in separate areas, and that originally was felt to be sufficient. However, then they saw that it came with the Kalos Roish, it led to lightheadedness, so therefore, they made the Tikkun Godoil later on, which is to say that they made the balconies for the women, and they constructed special balconies, and that way you have the women up above and the men down below, and that took care of this issue with the Kalos Roish. Now the Rambam in the Perish Mishnayos in Masechta Sukkah says that what's the purpose of making the special tikkun, the balconies? So the Rambam, k'dei shalo yastaklu ha'anoshim ba'anoshim, in order that the men should not be mistakel at the women, should not look at the women. Okay, so the Rambam, in other words, over here, the Rambam says the problem is taruvus, an admixture between the men and the women. Over there, the Rambam says the problem was histaklus, that the men are going to come to look at the women. And this, and we're going to talk more about it, but this is the major steer in the Rambam that's discussed, that Rav Moshe and the Chav Rocha and the Satmar Rav Zichron Livracha got into a very, very big machloikis, as was the crux of it. There are many other issues, but the crux of it, more than anything, was a question of how to deal with the steer in the Rambam. Is the issue that the men will look at the women, that was the primary concern, or that the concern was an admixture of taruvas between the men and the women, like the Rambam says over here in Masechta Midos. And a Tosef Yontif grada in Masechta Sukkah, interestingly, the Tosef Yontif is only brought down by the Satmar Rav. Ramosha doesn't bring it at all. And the Satmar Rav quotes it again and again and again and again in the Divrei Yoel to prove his point, because the Tosef Yontif brings down this Rambam in the Perish Mishnayos. The Tosef Yontif says about this Rambam that the concern was histaklus, so that the Tosef Yontif had din imoy. In other words, this is very, very logical and makes perfect sense, Zok the Tosis Yontif, because he says that actually Zok the Tosis Yontif, that Histaklos ha'anoshim banoshim, men looking at the women, which is the language that the Rambam uses, that's maybe the Kalos Roish, that leads to lightheadedness, that the Pasuk says, ki hu yimshol boch, hu yimshol boch, Pasuk in Parashat Bereishis. Notice he's explaining why specifically the men looking at the women leads to the Kalos Roish. Because the men are the aggressors when it comes to inappropriate behavior, like the Pasuk says in Bereishis, hu yimshol boch. So therefore, the concern is the men being mistakel at the women, which leads to a Kalos Roish. V'oid, zokti, Tosis Yontif, aside from that, the Rambam is anyhow right, mishum kish Das, and also Zokter Jemma Yurakeri. So these are concerns, Kishul Das and Yurakeri, in other words, that it might have a physical impact on the men, which is wrong and incorrect. So therefore, these are concerns that in Kolshkin, Bechatzah is Beis Hashem, and the Chatzah of the Beis Hashem is certainly wrong. Zokter Taisyantav said, Mele Ram is absolutely right, Hadin Imoy, to identify the problem as a problem of histaklus. So that's the Taisyant of comments. He also adds, by the way, that although the Rambam says by Yosin Midois that originally Ezra's notion had no wall around it at all and was completely open, however, he says that Rashi is before. Not like that. And Rashi actually learns in Sukkah that there originally was a wall, but there was no platform jutting out of the wall and no way to make a balcony. So they put beams and built in beams into the walls of Ezra's notion, and that way they could put up a platform when it came to prepare for the Ezra's notion for the Simcha Beis HaShayev. That's the Shittas Rashi. One final maramokum that we need to say over right now is the Loshen Ram in the Yad. In the Ram in the Yad, the Rambam also discusses this Tikkun Godoil that was made in the Ezras Noshim for the Simchat Beis HaShayeva, and the Rambam writes over there that they made a special Tikkun, which had the men above on the balcony, and the women above on the balcony, and the men down below, k'dei shalo yas'arvu eilu im eilu. There shouldn't be an admixture, a tarovet. Taruvis yas'arvu eilu im eilu. That's the language of the Ram in the Yad. Now, here we have, and let's identify this, this, the big machlokes here, Moshe Feinstein's of Racha and the Sat Merov, in terms of how to explain the different statements of the Rambam, which appear to contradict one another, whether the concern was, the Rambam says in the Perish Mishnayos and Sukkah, for histaklus, the men will see the women, or the concern was for taruvus, mixing together, that the Rambam says by us and Midos, and he also says in the Yad HaChazokah. Now, the Rav Moshe Feinstein's Shita is that the Ikar is like the Rambam says in the Yad, which Rav Moshe says, even if we didn't know exactly how to deal with the various Marmakimis in the Perish Mishnayos, we would still have to chap on that the Ikar is the Yad, because the Ikar Lahalocha is the Rambam's Yad, it is Pesachim. And the Rambam says it's a concern for taruvus. And therefore Rav Moshe says that Lahalocha, that a Mechitza, which the Mechitza in Shul is derived from the Poiskim out of this Sugi in Mesech Tesukah, and the Sugi in Midos, about how they had this separation, men and the women, over here in the Simchat Beis HaShayeva. So the Ikar is, says the Rav Moshe, the Mechitza is not primarily, is not there for histaklus. We're not choishes that they're going to be stamazoi histaklus in the oifen that's osir. But rather, the concern is that it leads to taruvus. What exactly does taruvus mean? That Rav Moshe discusses. He says taruvus doesn't necessarily mean that the men are going to walk to the mokum of the women, or the women walk to the mokum of the men. It doesn't necessarily have to mean that. Rather, says Rav Moshe, the Rambam is explaining in the Perish Mishnayos in the Sechta Sukkah, with the lashon of histaklus that the Rambam uses, so he says that the Rambam doesn't stamazoi mean that the men will stambi mistakil, because that's not the primary concern. Rather, it's histaklus that leads to a kalos roish, which is the language of the Rambam, like we quoted the Bartanur over here. The Bartanur says kalos roish, it's the language of the Gemara in Sukkah, leads to a kalos roish. So we're not stam talking histaklus, we're talking, they see it, and then they start schmoozing with Devi Hevel, the men to the women, says Rav Moshe, and then it leads to more inappropriate kalos roish type behavior. And therefore, that the concern was not stam the histaklus, but the fact that it leads to a kalos roish, and it leads to inappropriate behavior, and that type of schmoozing men to women, women to men, so that could be called taruvus, even if each of them physically remains in place. This is the Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe adds, and he says it very forcefully, that there is no shum mocker, that's what Rav Moshe claims, certainly not in the Mishnah, the Rambam anyway, that there was any kind of a mechitza, what we call a mechitza, an actual wall that was in front of the women on the balcony. Rather, the women were on some sort of an open balcony, although obviously it had some sort of a maka, like they're going to speak out, it would have to have had at least a railing of ten tefachim that you have to have off the maka for danger purposes. But upon and beyond that, Rav Moshe says the women were open, the women could be seen. There was, and the men, he says, men who were standing in the middle in any way could really see them, said Rav Moshe says. So therefore, Rav Moshe says that Stamets, the concern was for looking, they didn't even take care of it, because there wasn't even a wall over there. There wasn't any kind of a fencing in any manner. So rather, the concern was that the Moshe, that the understanding, the Fashtan was, that once the women are way up there on the balcony and the men are down below, it doesn't lead attitudinally, so to speak, it doesn't lead to a mixing, and the men are physically separated from the women, and that's sufficient. And from there, the Moshe builds his Shita, which we're not going to get into, the Me'ikah Shuras Hadin, the letter of the law, and the Moshe holds the Mechitza only has to go up to shoulder height, because the Moshe is Meshire, that the Shikol that the Moshe made, that once it's shoulder height, people recognize, the men and the women sense that it can't lead to any kind of physical contact, and they see themselves as separated, and that suffices, even though it doesn't take care in any direct way of the problem of the stakla. So this is the shit of Rav Moshe, that the ikar is the mechitza is because of tarovet, or a sense of it, tarovet is an admixture, rather than being there for the purpose of the stakla. So that's Rav Moshe's shit. Rav Moshe adds one last thing that we'll say, which is that don't tell me that the words of the Rambam, that the balcony was shkufim atumim, transparent and blocked or opaque. Don't tell me that that's some kind of reference to a railing that was in front of the women, or lattice work of some kind, which the women could see out of, but the man can't see into, which that would be a good way to learn. Shkufa matumim, transparent from the vantage point of the women, and opaque from the vantage point of the men. But rather, just to add, that is what shkufa matumim means in Sefer Melachim by the Bayis Harisha, and it says that the Bayis HaMikdash had chaloini shkufa matumim, which the Mephoshim explained, and really it's the Gemara that says this, that the windows was engineered, the structure in such manner, the Bayis HaMikdash, that you could see out, but you couldn't easily see in. That's why they're called shkufim atum, and transparent and opaque at the same time. You see out, but not in. So that's a good way to learn the Rambam over here, l'chayre. That shkufim atum means that the women could see out and the men can't see in, a lattice work of some kind. And Moshe says it's totally wrong, and there's no shum makar for such a lattice work in the first place. Rather, he learns up that shkufim atum means that it was unobstructed up above on top of the platform and obstructed down below. In other words, below the platform it's obstructed, and up above is unobstructed. The details of this are the subject of a fight between the Moshe and the Satmarov that we won't get into, but Al-Kopana, that's a Moshe Shita, that there was obstruction down below the platform, and on top was wide open. The Satmarov, in a strongly written Shuvah in the Divrei Yoel, disagrees with the Moshe Mekama Vakamat Stodim, and again we're going to go through the Iker, what's Negel in the Neinu. The Satmarov writes that it's absolutely clear to him that the word Shkufim Atumim is based upon the Psukim in Melachim and based upon the sugya of Hagemora, that shkuf matumah means over there in the bayis harishon, by the windows of the bayis harishon, that you could see out that you can't see in. He says, and it's clear that the Rambam understood that there was some sort of a lattice work, a mechitza, what we call a mechitza, that was in front of the women, and otherwise the men would be able to see the women, so that would not be acceptable. So therefore, there was a lattice work, and the Rambam is telling you that they constructed it in such manner the women could see out and the men can't see in. It makes perfect sense. And the Safarov says that this is correct anyway, that you ought to learn that way, because the Rambam is the Iker in the Das HaRambam is that the problem is histaklus. And of course, you have to construct it in such way that the men can't see the women. So maybe there was some sort of a railing in front of the women who are on this balcony. Zokta Satmarov, the Rambam speaks this thing out in the Perish Mishnayos in Masechta Sukkah, and he holds the Iker is Rambam in the Masechta Sukkah in the Perish Mishnayos. The Rambam said the Feirish, the problem was histaklus, and the Satmarov is Madgish again and again in his Tshuva that the Tosis Yontov says this. He says, you argue in the Tosis Yontov? Then there's the Feirish, Vadin Imoy, that it makes perfect sense that it was a reference to the problem of histaklus, and therefore there was a balcony and there was a lattice work. And the Satmarov says that Avada, this is the Iker. He says, even though we don't find any Raya Mefureshes that there was some sort of offense in front of the women, he says it's not a big taina because Zoktay, there was any other some sort of offense, because everybody agrees that there was offense, tent tefachim hoy al tmake, otherwise it would be dangerous. The women are on the balcony, it's dangerous to not have a railing. So you have to have a tent tefach fence. Elamai was higher than tent tefachim Zoktay for the purpose of Taruvis and the purpose of Estaklus, that's not a taina. Granted, at some point out, incidentally, that even though in the standard Rishonim that they had the Meshach HaDoiros to all the generations, we don't have any right with a lattice work or a railing. The fact is, there are two Rishonim who actually speak it out, and that's the Meiri over here in Masechta Midos, in his Perish HaMidos, he speaks it out briefly. That says that he actually speaks out that there was some sort of a lattice work over there that you could see through. He granted doesn't say befeirish that it was to block the men from seeing. He just says it was a lattice work that you'd be able to see through. But he does say that there was a lattice work of some kind. And granted the Piskei Rid in Masechta Sukkah says even stronger. The Piskei Rid actually says it. The Piskei Rid speaks out, the Imamish speaks out, that there was a lattice work over there which the women could see out of and the men could not see into. So there actually is a Mokum of Furs to the day of the Satmarov. Satmarov adds that even though the Rambam in the Perish Mishnayos over here and in the Yad chapso into Loshon Taruvis, he says that's not a taina and he's mefalpo to attempt to demonstrate that when you have a histaklus and the men are looking at the women, that itself is called a taruvis. That's what he wants to try to demonstrate over there. And therefore he says that the Iker is Rambam in the Perish Mishnayos and Sukkah, the problem was histaklus, and that's what a mechitza is all about, histaklus. The mechitza in the shul today has to be about histaklus, and mechitza has to be constructed high enough that the men can't see the women at all. That's the function of the mechitza, it's also histaklus. And it happens to be in a couple of places. The Rambam chaps on the Loshon of Taruvis. It's just a cloyistic, a general expression, like the Satmarov, Taruvis, which could be easily used, in his opinion, to refer to the men looking upon and seeing the women. So, and as we mentioned, there is a couple of Rishonim, a marker for the basic Hanocha of the Satmarov, that there was, in fact, some sort of a fencing. It was a lattice work in front of the women, as opposed to Ramosha's day, that the women were mamash out in the open and visibly, readily visible, because the problem, according to Ramosha, of course, is not a stockless in the first place. I have a couple of Rishonim, the Meiri and the Piskei Rid, that support the Hanocha that there was a lattice work. I did see, though, that some point out that the basic Tzugang, the basic approach of Ramosha Feinstein, there actually is a riot to him in the Sefer HaOruch. Because the Sefer HaOruch, of course, is one of the very early Rishonim in the end of the Yitzchuvas HaGoinim, the Sefer HaOruch, and the Oruch actually writes that the concern was that originally Zokta that the men would enter in among the women, and there was an actual mamash, they would actually walk one to the other, literally enter one to the other. That actually fits with the notion that the problem was Tarovet, mamash, and the sense of Taruvet, mamash, and admixture. As he goes further, Ramosha says they were schmoozing and they were hevel, and that's inappropriate talk, and that's Taruvet, and he actually writes that they were mamash entering in one the other, which actually, that's the Sefer HaOruch says, it does fit in a component with the notion that the Rambam Shitta, at any rate, Moshe and the Satmarov get into all this, but the Rambam Shitta, at any rate, is that originally, Mamash was unwalled. And Mamash did not have a wall around it. So, yeah, like the Gemara describes that the men are in the Chayil and the women are in the Sasnoshim, etc., but I'm saying there's Mamash no wall separating them. It does make perfect sense that there should be a concern that there was Mamash a sense of a taruvus between them, and according to the Oruch, it seems that they even walked in from one to the other. Now, one additional akuda in the Pashup Shad over here, that's a big vikuach between Moshe Feinstein and the Satmar Rav and the Devei Yoel, is a question of understanding what changed. In other words, originally, the Mishnah says, Chaloko Hoysa Barishainas. Originally, there was no balcony, there was no concern. Like the Gemara says in Sukkah, they just had the men in one area and the women in another. And later on, they changed that, and they had to construct a whole balcony of everything. The Gemara says they saw at least the Kalos Rosh, and therefore they constructed a whole balcony. So Rav Moshe writes in the Igus Moshe that you could bring a raya from the original Havana, the original understanding before they changed it. He says, if the question was histaklus, so he says, what it takes some kind of a super genius to figure out that there's going to be a histaklus over here. How could anybody think there wouldn't be a histaklus, says Moshe. Stam, the men are going to look at the women. Of course they'll look at the women. There's nothing separating between them, and there's two areas, the men and the women. Of course there'll be a histaklus. So what was anybody thinking originally, Zok there, Beshas, when they originally made the, without any mechitza or any exhausted balcony between them. So to the Moshe, but according to me, it works. It's just a riot to me, Zok there. According to me, that the problem is not a histaklus. So we're not worried about a histaklus in the Oifen of Isser. It's just the men and women could see each other. So what? That's not the concern halachically in the halach over here. The concern is kalus roish, the concern is taruvis. So originally, they didn't see it leading to taruvis at all. They didn't lead to. Later on, he says, it did change and it led to taruvis and emela. Therefore, they had to stop making a tikkun gadol. And from then on until today, Rav Moshe says, we always understand that any time there's a mokum of Zoran Shabakdusha, that we don't have a base of mikdush, but we have a shul, we say Zoran Shabakdusha, so emela, we still too, and you always have to have this concern, extra concern for taruvis, and extra concern for the inappropriate connection, men and women, and that's why we have a mechitza today, all not because of histaklus. The Satmar Rav responds to Rav Moshe at length, to Rav Moshe's taina, that what did they originally think, before they had the balcony up, wasn't there a histaklus? The Satmar Rav responds with 2 points. Number one, first of all, Dr. Satmar Rav, the first thing he says is that we find in other sugyas in the Gemara that originally people understood that they were in a very high madrega and there were various types of yetzahoras and asyonis that they did not originally have. And then shpeter, there was a yiridas hadoris and it led to a lower madrega and they had to deal with that and address that, zokter, and change the hanoga because of the fact that people had yetzahoras that they originally did not have. For example, the Gemara tells us that originally there was mitzvah yibim koidemis la mitzvah chalitza. Right? So originally, in other words, any woman who's the kukul yibm shmeres yavam, that she has a choice yibm chalitza. They gave primacy to yibm because that's the ikra mitzvah to miyam. Then later on they saw that they were not being bol el l'shem mitzvah, but rather bol el l'shem znus. We'll leave the details out. Pak upon him, they were having in mind the taivos, they're having in mind taivos rather than having in mind mitzvah. So maybe they changed it and said mitzvah chalitza kedemes. So you see, you read that it leads to a change of anoga. Zok the Satmarov. Originally the understanding was people on a very very high madrega and they're going to do a big mitzvah sinchat beis hashayev. So they thought there's no shum concern of histaklus. What kind of histaklus? You're going to be a histaklus b'shas when you're involved in such a big mitzvah. The men are histaklus with the women. Who could be histaklus at a time like that? That was originally. Shpeter later on, there was a Yiridas HaDoros. People fell down to the madriga. And you had all of a sudden, unfortunately, a situation in which it could lead to histaklus. Even b'shas, you're doing a mitzvah and involved in a mokum kodesh in the base of Mikdash. And after Pekin, the men will start looking at the women. So maybe they changed it, and therefore they had to start putting up a balcony. He says, avada, even if it's a histaklus, there's no shum taina from the fact that they didn't originally have a concern for it. For Oyin says a Satmar Rav, he says, even without that, he says, it is a very good mahalach, he says, but even aside from this, the whole kasha of Rav Moshe Feinstein doesn't even start. He says, no one is allowed, you never ask a kasha, Zok there, when Chazal are oimid on something at some point in history, you're never supposed to ask what they do before that point in history. He says that it doesn't work that way. He says, it's not like the Klal Yisrael, the Midbar, the minute they get the Torah, all of a sudden they make every single conceivable drasha, and every single conceivable takana, and every single thing gets done mamash on day one. And it's not like that. He says there's a the mahalach in the Jewish history, so to speak, in which each doyer and each talmud chacham has their chelik in Torah. Zeh chelkoi b'terasenu hakdoisha. That's what Satmar Rav says. Each doyer and each talmud chacham has their chelik. They were drashas that they were not made when Moshe first came down by Sinai, and they were made later, and they were mechadash chedushi dinim. What they do in the earlier doyers, that wasn't their chelik yet to make the drasha. So Moshe Rabbeinu zokt there, and Sinai he was shown by Mar Nevuah, but every talmud vosik was osed l'chadash. That's something was shown. Moshe was shown, but it wasn't given to Bnei Adam until people schwitzed and they banged their heads against the wall and they figured it out. With Takonis, they figured it out later, they're supposed to be making, which took a while to figure out, took some days to figure it out. There were drushes that figured it out. He says, and we find, and we'll talk about this in Mr. Shem coming up, that the Gemara says in Zvachim of Samach Beis, that, and we'll talk about this actually to get to today's daf from Mesech and Midois, that the Gemara says that the whole Bayas Harishin, they weren't omitted in a particular drusha, like we'll get to Mr. Shem, and the male of the Mokam Arocha, the base of Midos, the base of Midos, Be'ech was too small. The Be'ech of the base of the Bayis HaRishon was too small. Later on, they were on a drosha, and they had to enlarge the Mokum of the Be'ech for the Bayis HaSheni. So what did they do to the whole Bayis HaRishon? We'll talk about this. This is Kasha. We'll talk about it. One of the Sapperdom says this is not a Kasha. The Metzia says that the Abish that gives the Torah in the world in such an oifen, that you're Omer on Dinim, you're Omer on drosha, if you're Omer on Yesoido, it's later on in history, because that's your Chelik in Torah. And that's the Zok there. It's a derech of the histalshalus of the Torah. And Mela Zok there in the earlier derech. So let's say they weren't oimed on it. So what? It doesn't make any difference. Once they were oimed on it, and later on derech, that is the Torah that which was given to us to keep. And in Mela, we don't ask the kasha of what was done earlier, what was done for you. So I want to mention that the basic shtel that the Satmarov shtels on over here, the basic mahalach that he says, at first, that the earlier derech were on a high madrega, and in Mela they had no need for this tikkun gadol to make the special balconies and etc. Only later on Darius needed him. There is a similar mahalach that was said before the Satmarov, but the Ezes Koyanim, by the Meforish, the Ezes Koyanim is the thorough parish on Masech de Midos, and the Ezes Koyanim, really, he asked a question over here. He says, how come the Bayis HaRishon didn't have to make a tikkun gadol? The Vosep is, now it seems to have been, they were in the middle of the Bayis HaSheni, but he says, why Vosep is the Bayis HaRishon? That's why he put the question. I guess he's naming one near the beginning of the Bayis HaSheni. They were on the tikkun gadol, the balcony for the women. What happened the first Bayis HaMikdash? Why wasn't there such a need? So he did the way he says it. He says a little different from the Satmarov. Let's say his third. He says, okay, that the Bayis HaRishon, the Yetzer Hara for his nus was not as great. And the Meila, there wasn't as much of a concern for Kalos Roish or whichever Mahalach he go with for his Taklos. They didn't have much of a concern because the Yetzer Hara was not so great. Zokter, in the Bayis HaSheni, the Yetzer Hara of his nus was greater. So why? So he says, he claims his Chiddush. He says, we know, the Gemara tells us in Yuma, a whole Maisa, a whole story, that the Anshei Nesodon, at the beginning of the Bayis HaSheni, Mevatel the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zorah. There was a whole Gemara about this, how they made a special mispal to Hashem, and they succeeded in being mevatel the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zorah. Zokt of them, the Ezes Koyanim, that once a mevatel the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zorah, then other Yetzer Haras went as chazik. Particularly Zokt of the Yetzer Hara of his nus. You always have to have Yetzer Haras. Now that there's not going to be Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zorah anymore, from the time of the Bayis HaSheni, now the Yetzer Hara of nus gets starker, and he brings a lashon of the Medrash to Hillel, that the Medrash speaks out that when the Achnek Nesak Doyla were oiker the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zorah, he nichu shel zinus, that the Ebeshter left, and the Achnek Nesak Doyla left, the Yetzer Hara of Znus, and the Medrash says, in the Medrash Shir Shirim Rabba, Omar, kol mi she yamoid bi Yetzer Znus, maidon loy kilu oyim b'shtehem. In other words, it's an interesting thing. In other words, for now, the big litmus test is in terms of whether a person could be able to the Yetzer Hara of Harayos and of Znus, and if you're able to be able to the Yetzer Hara of Znus, it's as if you're being successful in both Yetzer Haras of Znus and Avodah Zorah, even though today we don't actually have any Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zorah. So the Ezes Koyanim claims that at that point, the Yetzer Hara of Znus was neschazik and it got stronger. He says, don't be misled by the Gemara, the well-known Gemara in the Masechta Yuma that says that once they took away the Yetzer of Avodah Zorah, they also, so to speak, took away something from the Yetzer of Nus. The Gemara says that now people don't have a Yetzer Hara for their own relatives, their immediate relatives, so that was taken away. So as this Kainan says, that's true, for relatives is different, but Al-Kopan, the basic Yetzer Hara of Nus, he says very strongly that it got stronger, it was Neschazik, and Mela works very well during the Bayis HaRishon, didn't have such a strong Yetzer Hara of Nus, so therefore, they didn't have to have a Tikkun Gadol. The men to the women. Mashenki now the Bayis HaSheni, the Yetzer Hara of Znus was stronger now, so Mela was necessary from here on and in to have this Tikkun Gadol. He's actually saying, in other words, the same type of Yesoy, look upon him, the same basic idea that in the Bayis HaSheni there was a need and a big Yetzer Hara, a big Nesoyon for the men to the Misariv in whatever way with the women. It was not present, the same type of Yetzer Hara in the earlier Doiros. I'll say one last maramokoim to wrap up this topic, the Yishuv and the Stira in the Rambam. Lamaisa, you have this big machlokes, the Satmarov holds a mechitza in a shul, which is parallels the separation in the Mokom HaMikdash, is be'ikr for his taklus, that men shouldn't see the women. And Rav Moshe, there's choylok on this, and he says it's not be'ikr for that purpose, but rather the purpose is there shouldn't be a taruvis or a sense of an admixture, a mishing, one with the other, the men with the women. So Rav Moshe has a different sheet about the height, doesn't have to be as high as the Satmarov mechitza. A number of gedolim of the 20th century were maskim to the Satmarov. You have the Mechitz Yitzchak and others that they went with the Satmarov and they went to the Iker, is that the Mechitza is primarily for the purpose of Histaklus. If interestingly, there's a Shuv in the 3-day age, which I just want to repeat, the Tamsas Advorim, which is in the Galen Yenainu. The 3-day age says that he thinks the Iker is like Rav Moshe Feinstein. That's what he writes. And he says that he went through the Shuvas and he thinks Rav Moshe Shita is convincing that the Iker and the Das HaRambam, like the Rambam speaks out in the Yad, that the Rambam says that it shouldn't lead to a Taruvas, an admixture. He says admixture is admixture. He doesn't buy the Derech of the Satmarov, that it Ad Mitzvah just means that the men are looking at the women. He says that's not Teruvus. And then Meili, he says the Ikar is like a Moshe. Zok the Svide Eish, what do you do with the Rambam in the Perish Mishnayos and Sukkah, who says the Palm of Estaklos? So here, and this is where he doesn't speak at the Perish, but here he departs from Moshe Shita. Rav Moshe is Matrik in the Lashon over there. Rav Moshe says that the Estaklos is what it originates in, what it starts with, but then it leads to Kalas Roish and etc., and that's the concern that Rav Moshe has. However, and that leads to Teruvus, and the Ikar is a Teruvus of the other Rambam. The Sridi Eish of Pidarkoi appears to learn that the Rambam is saying two different things in the two different places, and they're both emes. In other words, the Hainu, the two concerns, well, he had one concern that the Rambam identifies in the Perish Mishnayos and Sukkah, which is the men are going to look at the women, which he stresses, by the way, we're talking about Histaklus B'derech Isser, which is not Stam to see the women, that's not the Derech Isser. But rather, it's Histaklus, a kind of Kavua, a fixed Histaklus B'derech Hanoah, and in Meila, he says that was evidently a concern that you had. Meila, that the Rambam is speaking that out in Sukkah. There's also additional concerns out there, which are concerns of Taruvah, Stam, that they mish the men and the women in whatever way, and that's the concern that Rambam speaks out in the Yad, and also he speaks in the Perish Mishnayos and Midos. But even though you had two concerns over there, La Halacha, in today's times, with Manenu in the Shul, we are not concerned for the concern that the Rambam identifies in Masechta Sukkah, which is one of the Histaklus, Derech Hanoah, because he says that in the Shul is not a matzav that's conducive to leading to Histaklus B'derech Hanoah. He says, what kind of chashash is that the men are going to look at the women Histaklus Kavua, Histaklus B'derech Hanoah in the middle of a shul, Zokter? The shul is not at all, it's a matzav, it's a mokum tefillah, Zokter. So who's going to be concerned with that? So Meila, now with shuls, we don't have the concern of the Perish Mishnayos and Sukkah of Histaklus, we only have the other concern of Taruvus, which is to say a sense of being together and mishing the men and the women, and for that you have Ramoshid Mechitza, which he paskins, as we said, Me'ikashuras Hadin, it does not have to be all the way up to the very top, up to the men should not be able to see the women. So that's his shita. What I want to just point out over here on this, he clearly, and he doesn't make a big deal out of it, but he clearly is finding a third derech to get around the steer and the Rambams, which his derech and the steer and Rambams say they're both emes. And now, obviously, it's not so great why the Rambam picks one mahala, one concern in one place and one in a different place and doesn't speak out that there's two concerns. You know, but nonetheless, this is a three-day shita, that the Rambam has two independent concerns and that one of them does not apply to our shuls because a shul is a mokham that's not conducive to a kind of Hefker Dicker type of Histaklus B'derech Hanoah. What I want to mention is that this that he says that you can't shtaltzu and you can't be medamah to learn, extrapolate from the Malacha Mikdash to the Shul is not a simple matter at all. And Rav Moshe Feinstein, in one of the Tshuvas on Mechitza, the Shul suggested this thing, that you could say that the Beis HaMikdash was a Malacha of Simcha Beis HaShi'ev, and it was Simcha, a tremendous joy, and etc. So it leads to kind of maybe a frivolity and a Hefkerus in the attitude of the people. So now over there, they had to have a Mechitza. Maybe you can't learn from there to you can't learn from the Tower Shuls altogether, which is a makom of great seriousness. So Rav Moshe responds very forcefully, and he says that the Talmud Chacham wrote in this is Torah Kapora, that the Ebishter should mechaper him for saying such a thing, said Rav Moshe. Now, for states, Rav Moshe understood that once you start saying that, then who says you need a mechitza in the shul at all? Because there's no independent Gemara that says that the shul has to have a mechitza. It's all learned out of the Suya, the makom of Mikdash. So Rav Moshe mamish writes that the Ebishter should mechaper this Talmud Chacham for saying such a thing. And Rav Moshe's madgish, he stresses that the makom of Mikdash is a makom of Moira, is a Tiro is actually a mitzvah of Moira Mikdash. It's a place of tremendous Yira of awe. And even with the simcha that they had over here, Moshe says there's no reason to Neman that there was any bigger concern for Efkerus or Hoylus of any kind in the Makan Mikdash there in the Mikdash than you have in our shuls. So the our shuls also have an Indian of Moira, but the base of Mikdash is the Ikra Makam with the mitzvah of Moira Mikdash. The people went to base of Mikdash and they were filled with awe, Moshe says, and Avada is no bigger concern for Hoylus in the base of Mikdash. So whatever they did in the base of Mikdash, you could extrapolate to our shul. So this is an important thing to recognize is to understand that the 3DH is being maskim to the fundamental sheet of Rav Moshe Feinstein, but at this nekuda that he says to not learn out of the Mikdash, he takes one element that doesn't learn it out. The element of Histaklus. Because he said that's Histaklus Derech Hanoah, etc. So then he doesn't learn out. The basic Mitzvah Taruvus, he does learn out, that's the other din he learns out. Rav Moshe, on the other hand, forcefully rejects the entire notion that anybody should say that the base of Mikdash is a greater concern, Mokum, than the Shul. Rav Moshe understood that once you say that, so who sells you'll learn anything out? And the Moshe rejects it entirely. It is an interesting mitzius that the Moshe is saying a mitzius that even with the whole simcha beis hashi'eva and the Mishnah it says in Sukkah that if you didn't see that simcha, you didn't see simcha miyomav, etc., the Moshe is naming on that the mitzius was that people restrained themselves, they had a feeling of more awe and a moira. It's throughout the whole time of the Bayas Hashani, apparently, they were able to restrain themselves in this manner, and therefore the Moshe says that the concern that they had and the concern we have in our shuls is one and the same. and there was no greater concern for any kind of a hololus in the Mokra Mikdash. On Amud Beis in the third Perek, the Mishnah brings in actually another pasuk in Yecheskel regarding the top surface area of the Mizbeach, which is the Mokum with the Arochos, the fires were located. And it says, the pasuk in Sefer Yecheskel, V'ha'ariel shteim esrei oirech b'shteim esrei roichav ravua. The pasuk out of this pasuk is that the Ariel, that's the title, the language that we have for the top surface fire area of the Mizbeach, the Ariel is a square 12 amos in length by 12 amos in width, and it's a square ravua. So now the Mishnah says the Poshep Shat would be that the entire mokum of the top surface of the fire of the Mizbeach is only 12 by 12 amos. So the Mishnah says, no, Yochel She'en El Yud Beis El Yud Beis, maybe it's only 12 by 12. No, the end of the Pasuk says, Kesho'im El Abbas Revolve. So the end of the Pasuk says the four quadrants, so to speak, the four roivas, the four quarters of the Mizbeach. So the Gemara Dashin's net, Malamed, Shemana Emtsu Moided Yud Beis Amal Chol Ruach. That's haste, in other words, that the Chesmen of 12 by 12 is really counted from the midpoint of the Mizbeach, and you're counting outward from the midpoint, that says that, in other words, the radius, so to speak, would be 12, but in reality, the entire diameter or the side of the top surface of the Mokum Arocha would be 24. So you had, I guess you have four quadrants that are each 12 by 12, but in reality, the entire area is 24 by 24, and that's how the Mishnah goes through, and you can see the Chesmin, the whole Mishnah goes, that we start from Chesmin 24 by 24, and then outward, everything gets kind of concentric squares, larger and larger as you go down toward the ground. Right, you have the Mokum Hilach Ragli HaKoinim, the Mokum of the Kronos, and the Mokum of the Soid, and the Mokum of the Yesoid, till we get to the point that the Yesoid is a final sum total of, like the Mishnah at the beginning, Shloishim Ushtayim or Shloishim Ushtayim Amos, 32 by 32 Amos square, like we'll talk about in the Mitzvah Shem a little bit. Now, one Nakuda that the Pharisee Thrall over here writes, why is the top surface of the Be'ah called the Ariel? Vosep at the Loshon of Ariel. So he says the expression Ariel is comes from the word Ari. He said, Ale, by the way, is an expression of greatness. It is different place where you have this expression. You add the Shem Hashem, it show a great, like for example, Shalheves Yo is a pasuk in Shir Hashirim, which means a very great flame. The Shalheves Ko, you add the Shem Hashem. Same Ariel, and that's an expression of a great, very great lion-like fire, because the fire on top of the base of the top of the Bezmeach was actually a special fire. It was a Eishal Maila. The Gemara says in Yom Chofal from the base was Revutzo Ka'ari, that it crouched like a lion. It was a very, very powerful fire. It had a tremendous strength. He brings from the Sugya in Yuma that it was a Chelos Lach. Normally, fire only consumes dry entities. It consumed moist and dry carbonates because it was a powerful fire. It was like an Ari. So therefore, the top surface of the Be'ach where the fire was located is called the Ariel. The Teferes Yaakov, which is printed on the side of the New York and Boyer's Mishnayos, the Teferes Yaakov comments on this thing that he says it's actually Torochim Zokter, because if you look at the Gemara there, the Gemara says it's only the Be'ach HaMikdash HaRishon, which had special Nisim, so that had an Eish on Mizbeach, had a special Eish on Milo on Mizbeach, which it crashed like a lion, it was very powerful. Masha'in came to Bayis Hasheni, which was, did not have the same Nisim, so Mele the Bayis Hasheni Zokter. Yeah, it was the fire was actually Roivitz Kekelev, was like a Kelev, so to speak. It did not have the tremendous power like a lion. It's like the Pasik Zokta that we're quoting over here, the Ariel, it's a Pasik, Ariel, Shtei Mesei Oyrech, etc. That Pasik Zokta is about the Bayis Hasheni, so he says it's Shver. Why would he call it the Ari, a Lashon of Ari, if it's about the Bayis Hasheni, where the fire was not actually like, Ari, that was only in the Bayis Harishain. So he says maybe he could answer the question Zokta by saying that since it was called Ariel in the Bayis Harishain, therefore they continued to call that in the Bayis Hasheni. The appellation, the title stuck, even though there was no real reason to call that in the Bayis Hasheni, because it wasn't like a lion. After he came, they just by inertia, they continued calling it by the name Ariel, which they had called it in the Bayis Harishon. I want to comment that aside from the fact that this teretz is Gans Dochuk, because the fact is that in Tanakh, you did not have the word Ariel found for the Zbeach of the Bayis Harishon. Ariel is you, but not in this context, for the Zbeach of the Bayis Harishon. It's only found in the Cheskel, it's talking about the Bayis HaOsid, so it's a doichik to say that it's a kind of a inertia from the first Bayis HaMikdash to call it a real, and really the second Bayis HaMikdash has no reason. But more than that, you have to realize that the whole Teferes Yankov Kasha is a very strange question, which the question itself is Sorochian. What is he saying? That the Pasuk is talking about the Bayis HaSheni, and in Meila Bayis HaSheni, the fire is weak and doesn't have the supernatural koyach, so why call it a real? That's not true. The Pasuk is not about the Bayis HaSheni. Nobody learns the Pesukim Yecheskel about the Bayis HaSheni. It's talking about the Bayis HaShlishi, which is Osad Lavoi, like we said before from the Rambam, and everybody says that. That's Yadua, that the Pesukim Yecheskel is not about the Bayis HaSheni. HaSheni, they're about the Bayis HaShlishi. It's like, okay, the Bayis HaShlishi, we could definitely assume that if there was just a Kav HaChomer, if there was a fire like a Ari, like a lion in the Bayis HaRishon, so Kav HaChomer is going to be at least as strong as the Bayis HaShlishi. So that the whole thing is very, very mud what he's saying over here, that he quotes the Ariel and he has to say a hostical Torah, because Ariel is a quote from the Pasuk, and the Pasuk is really a reference to the Bayis HaShlishi of Lo'asid Lovoy. On this topic, I want to mention, before going on, an exceedingly remarkable thing that you find in the Peirush of the Goyin on the Binyan Beis HaMikdash in Yecheskel. The Goyin is in Yecheskel Mem Gimel Tezayin on this Pasuk of Ariel Shtei Mezri Oyech. And the Malbim says exactly the same thing as the Goyin over there. And it's a very Moedig thing. And both of them say the Peirush of a Pemole that the Be'ach of Lo'asid Lov will be 12 by 12 Amos. That says they both go against our Gemara, our Mishnah, without even quoting it at all. They both say the Peirush 12 by 12. In fact, the Goyin goes so far as the Chesman, based on the 12 by 12, he says that it's 12 by 12 Amos, and then the Mokom HaSoyiv is going to be 14 by 14, because it extends an Am each way, and then they have, when you get down to the ground, the Mokom of the Yosod is going to be 16 by 16. The whole thing is Mamesh Peper Moli and the Goyin over there in the Peirush and Yecheskel, what the area is going to look like. And Mamesh, it's a Stira Gemurah to Mishnah Beforeshes. It's a Mudava Mafli that the Goyin and the Malbim, both the Mishnah Mamesh Darshan is the Pasuk explicitly otherwise. The Elabas revolves. It's really four quadrants, and each one has this 12 by 12. It's 24 by 24, and then Mamish, the Malbim and the Goyin go Beferish against the Mishnah. And Mamish, an incredible thing. So the Sefer Oyer Leyo, which is a contemporary Heintiger parish on the Vilna Goyin's parish in Yecheskel, the Oyer Leyo writes that he discussed this question with Ramosh Shapiro, the Chanav Rocha. That's what he writes. So Ramosh Shapiro said, and Kemat is Vorm Achrochim like this, that the Goyin understood that this whole Drosha in the Mishnah over here is only to justify and to explain what they did in the Bayis HaShteini. The Bayis HaShteini, the Mokon HaMarach on the very top was 24 by 24. Masha Inkin thought that the Bayis HaLosad Lovoi is not going to have that. The Bayis HaLosad Lovoi, that's only going to be 12 by 12. And on that, Ramosh Shapiro says that the Pasuk is written in such an oifen, even though the Pasuk is talking Kepshuto about the Bayis HaShlishi, but there's Gevissa, Nekudois of methodologies of how to darshan the structure of this language of the Pesukim over there that are given for the purpose of the Bayis HaShaini. So he rather says an explanation of Pikabolo, for why the Bayis HaShaini has to have a bigger Mokom HaRocha than the Bayis HaShlishi. I'm not going to say over the Kabbalah, you can look it up in the early Yo yourself. I do want to mention one thing, Alder HaPshat, which is just the Ha'orah Ba'alma to mention, and that is that the Gemara in Masechta and Masechta Zvachim, which we'll talk about coming up, and we'll talk about Mitzvah Hashem coming up, we'll talk about this Gemara. The Gemara says over there that the Mokom HaRocha had to be bigger in the Bayis HaShani than the Bayis HaShlishi. One reason that the Gemara gives over there is that they needed a bigger surface so they could consume a lot of Korbanos. And even though the Gemara says the Bayis HaRishon had many, many Korbanos as well, the Bayis HaRishon had Eishel Maila, which should be Misayaya, and the Bayis HaRishon therefore had a very powerful fire, so it would be able to consume tons and tons of Korbanos every single day, and then Regal and etc., because it was a very powerful Maila Miderech HaTera Deva Dega Eish. Masha'inkin, the Bayis HaShani, which didn't have the powerful, miraculous Eish. So therefore, it took a bigger fire area, a bigger pyre, in order to be able to burn up all the Kabbalah. That's what the Gemara says. So Maila, you just get one thing, Alderech HaPshat, but a positive thing, that Lo'asud Lov, according to that, you could very arguably need a smaller Marocha, because it's going to be a very powerful, the Lo'asud Lov would be full of Moivism and miracles. So Maila, consequently, you really could explain Kepshuta, maybe why Alderech HaPshat, the Bayis HaShlishi, you have a much smaller Mokom HaRocha, it's only 12 by 12. But Kapanim, this is an interesting thing. You see, the Malbim and the Goyin both understood that you have, even Chodesh that the Apsukim that are Mamish written in the Cheskel, they're written in one Oifen, in a Midrashic Oifen, to darshan them in one way for the Bayis HaShani, and then to Miskayim in a different way, Kapshutai, Bishas, when we're going to build the Bayis HaShlishi, Lo'asid Lovoi. The Mishnah continues, and it says that the Yesoid, which was the, so to speak, the so-called foundation at the very bottom of the Beis HaMikdash, which jutted out and protruded on both sides of the Mizbeach, so it says the Yesoid was Mahalach al Pnei Kol HaTzofoin v'al Pnei Kol HaMayrov v'oichel b'doroim ama'achas or mizrach ama'achas. In other words, more that the Yesoid did not really protrude all around Beshova, all around all the four sides of the Mizbeach, but rather it was fundamentally in the shape of an L shape. It was Mahalach al Pnei. In other words, the entire north face of the Mizbeach and the entire west face of the Mizbeach had a Yesoid along the entire Yesoid. Also, when it wrapped around one Amma onto the Doroim and one Amma onto the Mizrach, one Amma on the south face, one Amma on the Mizrach face, it was an L shape with a little bit of a wrap around. B'Doroim Amma Achas, or Mizrach Amma Achas. This Mishnah, you have a big tumult in Masechta Zvachim, Daf Nun Dal, a big machloikas Amaroim. The Gemara really over there points out that the Mishnah starts by saying that the Be'ech was 32 by 32, which is really not Pashut. I mean, the opening line of the Be'ech is 32 by 32, the Pashut Shad is it was Pashut a square. Now, if it's only going to be 32 at the ground level, because it recesses, gradually recesses in as it goes up. So the ground level is 32 by 32, but if it was Kipshutoi 32 by 32, that might be a steer to the later on part of the Mishnah, that the Yesoi did not extend to both sides. Because if it didn't, then how do you have a square of 32 by 32? So the Gemara, the bottom line, the Gemara brings in a big machloekas in Rav and Levi, had a learn up over here. Rav Shita is that the Yesoid, when it says that it only was like an L shape, kol ha-tzofen and kol ha-mayrev and nothing more, so Rav holds that that's bebinyan. Thus he said that it actually was constructed in this manner, this is the way we typically understand it, that the Yesoid was constructed in this manner, that it only had a sort of being an L shape with a bit of a wraparound, and the other sides of the Be'ech did not have any Yesoid there constructed at all. Levi's understanding, however, it is, and it means bedomen. Levi's shita, in other words, is that really there was physically Yesoid protruding out on all four sides, square, on all four sides of the Be'ech, you had the Yesoid fully in place. And the Levi learns Kipshuta, the opening line of the Mishnah, 32 by 32 Amos square, that's the Mizbeach. Norvas then, Levi says, Bedomen, Levi's shita is that even though there was the Yesoid physically and all the sides of the Mizbeach, the Mokum that was kosher for Prezrikas Adam on the Mizbeach was the Mokum above the Yesoid, the Morlin is out of Sukkim, and the male, the only Mokum that was kosher was those Mekoimois that were directly above the Yesoid. The other Mekoimois, there was a physical Yesoid over there, but it wasn't a halachic Yesoid to Machshir, the Mekoimois on the wall above it, for the purpose of Zrikas Adam. That's Levi on the hands below. So Rav holds physically, there's only a Yesoid being L-shaped wrapped around Yesoid. Levi holds physically the Yesoid wraps around the home Mizbeach, but only part of that, the L-shaped part is kosher, is for the purpose of the Yesoid, for the purpose of Domim, that above that I should be able to place the Matan Dam on the Mizbeach. Now, what's the reason why only these areas were kosher for a kosher Yesoid and the other Mekoimois were not kosher? Dafka the Tzofoin side and Dafka the Mayrim side, Vosep is those areas. So on this, the Gemara explained over there in Zvachim that the Mekoimois, the Halakim of the portions of the Shevet of Binyamin and the portion of Shevet Yehuda in Eretz Yisrael, they kind of, their boundary line between them was right smack over there in the Mokom HaZorah, and those Mekoimois, which was part of the Chaluk of Shevet Binyamin, was kosher for the Zrikas Adam, the Zos, the Mokom Mizbeach, and for the Mokom Adam, and the other Mokom HaZorah, which was belonged to Shevet Yehuda, was not kosher for the Mizbeach, and therefore since Yehuda's Chaluk Mamash Jodid and Azah Oifin Mamash up against the Mizbeach, therefore you cannot have a Yesoid in the Mokom that belonged to Yehuda. There's a whole drosh in the Gemara, but in Yomin is Eiv Yitrof, the Gemara has a whole drosh on the Pasuk over there in Vayechi, that your Mizbeach has to be on Chelko Shel Toyref. In other words, that Binyamin, that's the Chelok of Binyamin, that's Chelko Shel Toyref, that Be'ech is only kosher in the Chelok of Binyamin. The Sefer Torah HaKodesh from Motcha Ilan Zechron Avrocha elaborates on all this and works to explain what the conceptual underpinnings, the Yesoid of the Machloikas between Rav and Levi is. So he says like this, but that's what you have to clear when we say there's a din of Chelko Shel Toyref. You can't have the Mizbeach on a Chelok that belongs to Yehuda, it has to be on the Chelok of Binyamin because that's called Chelko Shel Toyref. Binyamin's the Chelok of the one that seizes, that grabs. That's Binyamin's the Eiv Yitrof. So he says, what's the Achakir? What's the Pshat in there? Is it the Pshat that any Mokoim in the Azor that does not belong to the Chelek of Binyamin cannot have a Kedushin Mizbeach there at all? Let's say it's not a Mokoim Mizbeach. The Mokoim is not a Mokoim that's Mokshul Mizbeach at all if it's not the Chelek of Binyamin. Or, so that the Be'etzim, you could have a Cheft of Mizbeach over there, even the Chelek of Yehuda. But it's not a Mokoim that's kosher for the Avoida Sazvika. So is this the din of Chelek HaShatoyer for the Mokoim of Avoida? Or is it a din in the Mokoim of the entity of the Mizbeach, the Cheft Mizbeach is kosher for? So he says he understands, in his opinion, that's the Yesoid of Machloikas in Rav and Levi. So says Levi held that the din of Chelko Shel Toyref is only a din in Avoida. That in Avoida, the Zrikas Hadam has to be done in the Mokum of Chelok Binyamin, that's the Tzofen of the Meirev part, side of the Mizbeach, and not in the Chelok of Yehuda, which is the other two sides of the Mizbeach. That's a din in Avoida, but Be'etzim in the din of the Chefs of the Mizbeach, the entity of the Mizbeach, it could be anywhere, it could be in the Chelok of Yehuda as well. So in Mela, according to Levi, you had to build in the Mizbeach, and on that oifen that the Yesoid has to protrude on all sides, even protruding right into the Chelok of Yehuda, because the entity, the Cheft and the Mizbeach, is kosher, even the Chelok of Yehuda, it's just not a Mokom Avoida. Mashen King Rav understood, Rav Shita is zok there, that the din of Chelok Shel Toyref is the din of the entity of the Cheft and the Mizbeach itself. The Mizbeach itself is not kosher, unless it's going to be in Chelok Binyamin. And in Mele, any Mokom of Yehuda is not a Mokom with the Cheft and the Mizbeach that he placed at all. So in Mele, in Cain, according to Rav, it's Mochrach that there actually was no Yesoid at all on the other two sides of the Mizbeach, which were not in the Chelok of Binyamin, because they lack the quality of Chelok Shel Toyref, the Chelok of Binyamin, and Mele, therefore, you could not have a binyan of the Be'ech at all. So the Chayes HaKodesh stresses, he says, you should not make a mistake and think that when Levi said that they built built the Yesod around all the sides of the Mizbech, even though you couldn't have any Shvichi Shiraim over there, you couldn't pour any Dam, you couldn't have any Zvikas Adam at that Mokum. It was not a Mokum that was kosher for Avoida. But Alpha Peking, they built it. If you shouldn't think the Pshat is they built it Lenoi Bialma just to be nice or something to look nice, but really, the Etzem Chefs and Mizbech, even according to Levi, the real Mizbech, is only the Chel that was in Minyamin. That's a big mistake, Zokter. Father, that's not correct. Because first of all, it's Mukhar Mitzan Atzmoy, that everything that was built in the base of Mikdash, the Gemara always tells us that it was built in the Oifen, like the Pasuk says in the Vayomim, Hakol Beksov, the other Shamalai Hiskeles, Komalachoy Satovnes, that's a Tovet tells Shaloimoy, everything is Benevu, everything is given over with the Messiah. So if the Mizbeach is, if the Mizbeach is not kosher in the Chelik of Yehuda, you're not Stam gonna build a Yesod over there, an extra protrusion at the bottom just for the sake of looking nice or something. Avada, according to Levi, it's Mukhar that then Hakol Beksov was given, that you had to have the Yesod on all sides of the Beach, including protruding into the Chelik of Yehuda. That's how Levi is gonna have to learn. There's no questions out there. In a Mela, we need to understand. You have to understand what is the underpinnings of the Machlokes Rav and Levi. In other words, the Oifen that Rav, that Levi held, that there is a din to build the Yesod, even protruding into the Chelik of Yehuda. And the explanation is like I'm saying, Zokter. The explanation is that according to Levi, the Mizbeach could be built partly in the Chelik of Yehuda, but the Avodas Hadam then has to be done Zavka in the Chelik of Minyamin. So he adds, he lays through that he actually is enough Kemin Halacha in that, because the Gemara tells us, this has a special drosh in the Gemara in Zvachim, that the Mokhan Mizbeach is kosher for Shechita of the Kabbalah that needs soften. Even the Kochi Kochim that need to be shechted in the north of the Azara, nonetheless, he could shech them on the Mizbeach itself, even technically it's not the north half of the Azara, the Mizbeach itself has a din of soften. So he says, what if a person takes a korban and places it on the Mokam Yesod of Levi? You know, the Mokam Yesod that protrudes off into Yehuda. Is that also called Safan? I shecht it on that ledge. You know, it's a nice sized ledge. You shecht the korban on that ledge. Is that called Safan? Avada, yes, Okter. Because that Mokam of the Yesod, even the Mokam of Levi Yesod, which protruded into Yehuda, it did not have a din of a Mokam of Avodas Adam. But 100% it was part of the Beach without question. And according to Levi Shinta, and Meila Zicher, to be able to shecht the Kochi Kochim over there likewise. The Torah HaKadosh adds that the Emes is a raya, that he pointed out somebody brought him a raya to this raid, a raya to this idea. He says, because Toises asks in Masechta Zvachim Akasha, we know that the Mizbeach has to be built Ravua. The Pasuk says Ravua, the Pasuk in Yecheskel, the Pasuk in Chumash, they all say Ravua. The Mizbeach has to be built square. Frek Toises, that according to Rav, how is it the Mizbeach was square? Now says, according to Levi, what is Toises saying, Zokter? According to Levi, the Mizbeach Taka was square, because according to Levi, he had the Yesod on all sides. It was Mamash a square. It was a square, the Yesod, it was a square on the top, and all so on every height of the Be'ach, it was totally square, so the Pasuk of Ravu is Miskayim Kipshutai. But according to Rav, that it was L-shaped Yesoid, so maybe at the bottom there was a piece gouged out of it, because the part of the Yesoid that would have been a Yesoid, that's on the Chelik of Yehuda, there was no Yesoid built over there. So it comes out as a piece gouged out, it's not Ravuah, the Be'ach is not Ravuah at the ground level, Frektoisis. So how does the Pasuk of Ravuah Miskayim according to Rav? And the Toisis, the Rav understood that Ravuah can Miskayim on the Mokam Arocha. That's at the top of the Be'ach, the top surface, it's square. And that's good genug, it suffices for us, even though at the bottom, at the ground level, it's not totally square because it's a bit of the Yesod gouged out, so to speak. Nonetheless, it's square at the Mokam Arocha on the top, and that suffices. Zokt of them, the Teres HaKoidesh, you see from Toises that he understood that according to Levi, the Pasuk is Meskayan Kepshutai. According to Rav, the Pasuk of Ravuah is difficult, is schwer, because it's not really Ravuah, and a Mela, therefore, Toises has to say a Teres for Rav. That Rav held that Ravuah is Meskayan in the Mokam Arocha on the top surface. But according to Levi, there's no Kasha, because according to Levi, the Ravua is Miskayim at the bottom part of the Be'ach. Frek there, if the function of the bottom part of the Yesod that protrudes into Yehuda Zokter is just for the purpose of finishing the job, so to speak, it did not have a Din Mizbeach, it did not have a Kedushin Mizbeach, it was Rastamazoy added on for the purpose that it should, for looks or appearances sake, or that's all that it is. So to say that Toisit shouldn't be satisfied with Levi either, why does he ask only on Rav? According to Levi, it's Vaitashver, the Kedushin Mizbeach is only on the Mokum that's on Binyamin, there's no Kedushin Mizbeach on the Chelet that's on Yehuda, so it comes in the Be'ach, it's not Ravua, it's not square, because part of the area, part of the squared off area, is partly in Yehuda, and that Mokum has no Kedusha Mizbeach. Maybe so it's very nice, the construction engineers, when they constructed it, they add on a piece. What does that do for you? It doesn't make the Mizbeach Ravua, because the Mokum that's Mekudush Mizbeach is not Ravua. It's Mochrach from there, it's the Yesoid that I'm saying, Zokter. That according to Levi Shita, the add-on part of the Yesoid that was boiled into the Shein, the Mokum of Yehuda was also had Mamish Kedusha Mizbeach, was part of the Din Binyan Mizbeach, had Kedusha Mizbeach, and therefore was Ravua. No, but Din is a Din, the Avodas Hadam, that the Mokum of the Protruding Yehuda wasn't kosher avoidas hadam, and that's what Levi is saying, that in the din mizbeach, there's a special din avoidas hadam on the mizbeach, that's his shita, that was only, that din avoidas hadam, that's only the chelik of Binyamin, and not what is in Yehuda.
You have been listening to a shiur from shasilluminated.org. For other shiurim on any daf in Shas, including Mara Maclemus on each shiur, please visit shasilluminated.org. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the daf worldwide. We can be reached at 203-312-SHAS, or you can email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.